Sean Salisbury, I'm sure, was a cute baby. He joins us right now as a cute man right here on The Drive. Hello, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on, guys?
I mean, not every baby's cute, right, Sean? Not everyone.
Oh, no, there's plenty of ugly babies.
Thank you.
I mean, we want to say they're cute because it's politically correct. I've seen plenty of ugly babies, but, you know, for the family who loves in the eyes of the beholder, yeah, there's plenty of babies that you're like, whoa, what happened there? But they turn out to be okay most of the time. So, yeah, I mean, those facts are facts.
I mean, listen, everyone knows there's ugly babies, Sean, but is there an appropriate time to point it out to someone that their baby's ugly?
No, I would like to think when it's that old, you can tell in the tone of the voice of somebody, because if your baby's so cute, you know the tone of the voice, or if they don't say your baby's cute, then you know your baby's probably a little bit butt ugly, but that's okay.
Before we get into the meat and potatoes of the conversation, I did throw out on Twitter, God bless Sean Salisbury over the weekend. Sean, I have to compliment you. You can follow Sean at Sean Unfiltered. Sean, anytime, because it's one of my go-tos, anytime you throw out a your mother crack at somebody, it's just fantastic. Somebody was giving Sean a little bit of crap and being snarky. Sean dropped a mother comment, and it spread like wildfire.
Oh, I don't even mind bringing it up. It's a 10-year-old because of a stupid cell phone pick. You'll get the troll who, so, you know, somebody's saying something, kind of jump in there, or you'll say something, you'll post something about sports on Twitter and say, hey, send in any nude pics. Well, first of all, I didn't send any. It was in my phone. But I just simply said, no, but just to your mom.
And, you know, it's
happened before. Some guy will say something. I'll say, no, but your wife's requested if you ask her, check her phone.
Yes!
Then you know what the guy sends back to me? Oh, that's a classy response. Really? After you're sitting there talking about my Johnson. And I always find it amazing when grown men in their 30s or 40s or 25 are so concerned about my package
right.
that they can't even focus on their own. I think, what grown man focuses 10 years later on some guy's weapon of mass destruction between his own life? I usually tell him, no, but it'd fit good in your mom's mouth. That shuts them all up in a hurry, trust me.
Yes.
Then the trolls go on a sprint somewhere else. So if you want to, I'm one of those guys, you could say all you want, I don't have it, I'm okay, but when that's the only go-to you got, I'm like a comedian, and you want to heckle me, I will bury you so far in the ground you wish you were dead. Trust me.
That's why Sean's the best in the business. All right, bury me here as we move into football. Sean, you are a Raider fan. I know this through the years in Topnia.
Yes, I am.
Okay, so you're a huge Raider fan. So my personal persecution complex here, I mentioned earlier I'm getting killed on this. I mentioned that the Raiders are undefeated on the road. That is amazing. 5-0, culture change. Jack Del Rio is doing an amazing job. We can slobber on the Raiders, and we should for most of the day. I said Denver is a huge test. They have yet to beat a team above 500. The two teams they've played above 500, they have lost to at home. So I'm not ready to get overly excited about this team's contender chances. I'm getting killed on that. Am I being too negative there? Do I just focus on the record and shut up, or is there a point there?
Oh, no, you make valid points. I mean, you have people here in Houston, they're 5-3. They beat five teams that nobody cares about, and they went to Denver, Minnesota, New England, got their butt kicked against three good teams on the road. So nobody in Houston's buying into the 5-3 act either. But as a Raider guy, but also trying to look at it as an analyst from a different point of view, my thing is, yes, we can look at the schedule. You only play the people you play, and you got to take care of the schedule. But I do believe not only they're a contender. I say, what would you rather? Let's look at Denver, for instance. The Raiders' offense is pretty dominant. The Denver defense is dominant. And then you look at the weakness of both teams. Denver's offense, Raiders' defense, which we didn't think the Raiders' defense was going to be, you know, we thought they'd be better, at least statistically. So who would you choose? Who can fix it faster, the Raiders' defense or the Denver offense? That's a question you got to ask yourself. I do believe not only they're a contender, the Raiders, because, and I'll tell you why, he's the quarterback. I think he's the most valuable player in the league right now. Now, Brady hasn't played four games. We can't count him. Now, 12, if he plays all these games in 12 games, he keeps putting up these numbers, he will be. But you go through the numbers. Ezekiel Elliott, you know, Wentz, Phillip Rivers, Matt Stafford, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones. You can go through five or six names. Von Miller on defense is the MVP. Go through five or six names, they're all fine. Tell me a guy gone on the road, what, they're 5-0 on the road, and they've been long trips, playing his butt off, has an unbelievable game yesterday, has to overcome a defense that isn't playing well, carrying on the team on his back, playing great under pressure. How is he not the most valuable player in football right now? I don't see how he's not. So I do believe the Raiders are a contender, and I do believe before it's all said and done that this division will not be decided until a week or two left in the season, and the Raiders will be right there staring right at it with the Broncos. But I trust Derek Carr enough. I think Derek Carr is the MVP in the league after 8 weeks.
Sean Salisbury joining us this morning on KHTK. Now, Sean, it's crazy that they come out with a win after just the massive amount of penalties for 200 yards yesterday. Is there a way that this team can curb those, or do you think that they can continue and go into the playoffs and be successful while racking up and just unreal amount of penalties?
Great point. They won't beat. You're not going to beat the Patriots. You're not going to beat probably a Denver team. You're not going to beat the three or four best teams in the league when you commit 23, 24. I think it was 23 penalties. You can't. One of them was declined or two declined. You can't win that way. On a continuous basis against really, really good teams. You'll get away with one when your quarterback goes for five bills and plays out of his mind and does everything right. Yes, you'll get away. Those are the aberration. But that's not the norm. The norm is you get penalized that much, you're going to get beat. Now, there's a part of yesterday's game that reminded me of the 70s Raiders. It didn't matter. They'll take a personal foul penalty. You know, I talked to George Atkinson quite often, and, you know, the guys, the old, when I talked to Stabler back in the day, and some of these old Raiders, Ted Hendricks, they didn't mind taking penalties. They didn't. Matter of fact, they used to send early messages in football games that they'll take a roughing the passer. They'll send a message early to a guy crossing their face. When you're going to, you know, when Phil Villapiano is going to give you a forearm to the doggone throat when you drive walk by, just to let you know that they mean business. So their intimidation factor at times works. Now that's fine. It just can't be stupid penalties. Throw a touchdown, jump off sides, wide receivers moving in motion. I mean, there's things you can't control. So while they got away with one, you can't win a Super Bowl consistently being penalized. That Jack knows this. You got to be smart. Some penalties are okay to take once in a while. But you can't continue to be like that on a regular basis. And when they're just fortunate, they played great yesterday. I like an intimidating team that isn't cheap about it. But 20 penalties, 23 penalties. If you're in that range week in and week out, in that 12 to 14 to 15 to 20, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have special moments, and they had a special quarterback yesterday go through it. But you get penalized 20 times plus in a game, you're not going to win many.
Sean, is this just who they are, or is this something that an NFL team can correct mid-season and turn it around?
Well, I think it comes with discipline. Guys, but you think about the history of the team. Haven't they always been? I mean, they've always been,
yeah,
a team that's been penalized. But they have. I mean, I don't know if it's because when you put the uniform on, and I know that sounds crazy, but you put the silver and black on, and we start to think about if there's almost a sense of you almost take – it's like when you went to the Yankees during there. I mean, you went there was going to be trouble in the dugout. You were going to fight with Billy Martin. But once we hit the field, we were going to play our ass off. And I think that's the Raiders. And Jack's a tough guy. Jack grew up in Haywood. Jack knows the culture of the Raiders. Now, no coach goes in there and says, hey, let's get penalized 20 times and put ourselves in that bind, because there's nothing more irritating to me, the stupid penalties. You know, physical penalties are going to happen when you pass interference, but when, like I said, it's the most inexcusable. If a wide receiver jumps off sides, it's so inexcusable. Those are the things you can't tolerate, but it can be changed. It's a discipline, but you got to make sure, not only you can't just change it on Sundays, it's how you practice and how you go about it. But I do believe that's an aberration. But they're a team and a franchise that's been known to get penalized. And I also think at times, guys, reputation follows people around. And this is an organization that's always been penalized. So it's like if Pete Rose, when he was hitting, took a pitch. And you know how Pete would snap his head back at the umpire, or Tony Gwynn would take a pitch? Well, if you're the umpire, what's the first thing you think? Can't be a strike. If Pete Rose isn't swinging at it, or if Tony Gwynn's not swinging at it, or one of those guys, got to be a ball. So your nature is, if it's close, to lean on the ball. And I think there's also part of it with the culture of the Raiders, which I love the physical intimidation, but I think there's a part, well, this is silver and black. This is the eye patch. This is the Raiders. This is Raider Nation. This is what I do. If it's close, it's got to be a penalty. But not to say that they're not part of the problem, the Raiders, in doing it. But I don't know if you can fix it in midseason. A lot of times that's discipline in training camp. But you better play damn well each and every week to overcome it.
Sean Salisbury with us on KHDK. I mean, it is one thing to be playing hard, get a holding penalty, protect your quarterback, whatever. But when you're getting repeated 12 men on the field penalties,
yep,
and, you know, that's where you're in Jack Del Rio's position. that reflects on you as a head coach. But on the other side, your team is unfazed by all of that, and they overcome that adversity for a win. That also reflects on you as a head coach. How tough is it to be in that position come Monday morning?
That is an awesome point because, hey, actually, I love Jack. But part of that, whether it's the special teams coach in this fall on the field or the defensive coach, Jack knows that falls on him. He knows it. Just like when he was our defensive captain, if he didn't get the play called right, that fell on him. Or if as a quarterback, if I did something stupid, Jack would let me know. You know, I can remember getting too excited during a playoff game one time after our first touchdown against the Redskins, and I'm not a real excitable guy on the field. I was pretty calm. I didn't celebrate much. I came walking off our opening drive touchdown against the Redskins, came walking off. He sprinted out onto the field to congratulate, but put both his hands on my jersey and shook me and said, "Sal, don't you get too excited. This is a long game. Settle in now." And he chewed me out and looked me right in the face. So he gets it. But you're exactly right. You can't tolerate that it's the 12 men on the field. It's the undisciplined penalties that aren't of going 100 miles an hour. Those are the ones that you cannot tolerate. But on the other side of it, you're exactly right. I'm a big believer. Now, just as long as you don't get too comfortable and teach it, and I know Jack doesn't teach it, I'm a big believer in not playing your best football or doing something stupid and having the moxie and the cagey-type veterans and the cagey enough players and wily enough players to overcome it. Good teams win sometimes on the road when things don't go well. Really good teams win most of the time at home and on the road when things they overcome that. I love when a pitcher's not pitching his best, but still finds if his fastball's not at 98, but it's only at 93, it's a little off, or his curveball, and he's throwing other pitches for strikes to get people out. Or a point guard that's not scoring, and he's normally like a Russ Westbrook. If he could get you 16 rebounds and 12 assists like Jason Kidd used to do with 2 points, that's when I know that things are good. And a football team's the same way. Find me a quarterback or a football team, and when the stats aren't gaudy, when you don't have 8 sacks in a game, you've got 12 penalties, 15 penalties, you turned it over 3 times, now what? Now what? Because any of us can play good when things are going great. Now mm-hmm. what? Came a bunch of adversity, 2 missed field goals late in the game by one of the great kickers of all time, and they still found a way to win. That becomes a habit, and that becomes a culture just like the penalties or anything else. And you're exactly right. Well, it's a bummer to have that many penalties, but it's also awesome that they're buying into. It doesn't matter what adversity. And Jack was part of the team when Denny Green said, "I don't care if the food's cold when we arrive at the hotel, if the bus is late, he didn't care about distractions. He hated it. He loved going on the road so he could be a great road team. And Jack has taken, I think, a lot of what Denny used to and put it into his teaching, because I know how Jack is and I've known him forever. The distractions, we're not playing that game. I could care less. If the team meal doesn't show up, you get your ass on the bus and be ready to play." And I think that's the culture they're having at Raider Nation again. And it's about time that there's a commitment to excellence instead of a commitment to mediocrity. And that starts at the top with the front office right on down to the head coach, right on down to the guy who's taking ankles.
Sean Salisbury joining us on KHDK. Sean, you know quarterbacks as well as anyone in the country. The Dallas Cowboys are sitting on a 6-game winning streak, 1-point loss to the Giants, and they're undefeated. I mean, that's how crazy it's been. They've beaten 3 teams above 500 in a row, and they had the win last night. I look at Dak Prescott, and I don't want to take any credit away from him, even though I'm about to imply that. I look at him, and I wonder, is Dak Prescott really that good? Or is Dak Prescott pretty good, but also the effect of an amazing offensive line? And if you put David Carr behind there, if you put Robert Griffin III behind there, if you put a few rookie quarterbacks we can think of behind that offensive line, would they possibly be having the same success Prescott is?
Well, if you gave me different names, Robert Griffin III and David Carr can't hold Dak Prescott's nuts.
Okay. So they're rookie year, though.
They can't dress in the same. So I'm going to tell you, but here, it's, Dave, don't just look at how that he's doing it. Look how he's doing it. And he just validated my point about a quarterback who last night went through adversity, did not play well early, was not accurate, which he's been all. First of all, if we look at the first 6 games, he's been nothing short of spectacular. Accurate, on the road, at home, throwing it to the right guy, not forcing it, being a good leader, getting Ezekiel Elliott involved, all those things. Does it matter that his offensive line is the best on the planet? Yeah. Aikman had that too. Does it matter that his running back's leading the league? Yeah. Aikman had that too. Does it matter that he's accurate and big and strong? Yep. Aikman had that too. Does it matter that he's got a go-to wide receiver? Yep. Inkman had that too. Dez and now and Michael Irvin. So there's Witten and Novacek. The similarities are eerie when you talk about the youth. Now they're not the Cowboys then, and he's not Aikman. But I think the guy's going to be. I've said it for 3 years, and people laughed at me too when he left Mississippi State. I thought it was the most legalized theft in the draft. Now, I didn't know he'd be this good this fast. Did he play well last night? Absolutely not. But to come back for now, if he was Derek Carr or if he was Joe Flacco or if he was Aaron Rodgers, you know what we'd be saying today? Eli, man, what an unbelievable comeback. What a cagey move, playing, buying time at the end, staying the course, overcoming bad play early. We would have praised him. Yes, he's got a long way to go. Absolutely not should Tony Romo be the quarterback. You do not pull Dak Prescott out. Prescott found a way to win when things weren't going well. It's kind of the first bit of over major adversity he's faced this year where people aren't praising him the entire game, and he overcame it because the other guy outplayed him for the most part. Wentz did. So while, yes, a great running back and a great offensive line helps Dave, heck, average quarterbacks become better. But I'm going to tell you, it's not just the kids doing it. It's the way he's doing it. This is a unique talent that's going to be the starting quarterback for a decade or more for the Dallas Cowboys.
I say it every week, but I can't say it enough. Sean, we always appreciate and never take for granted your time each and every Monday, buddy. We will talk to you next week.
I look forward to it. Don't troll me and send me some doggone talk. Don't be talking about it. I'll bury you.
At Sean Unfiltered. Best follow on Twitter. Thank you, buddy.
That's Sean.
We'll take a break. When we return, actually, right now, 339-1140, get that Bearco Redwood moment of the game from Saturday versus the T-Puppies. You say it, and we'll give you prizes when we get back. We also still have an Apple TV to give away to you. Hey, we have Nostradamus, too, by the way. But we're talking Kings next on a very packed final half hour of The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.